Reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter, if you got your Bibles, you can read with me. Beginning down at the first verse, I think we'll start right there at the first verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country. For her judgment reacheth into unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Mede. For his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapor to ascend from the end of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is pure brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Their vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The potion of Jacob is not like them, for is the former of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee I will break in pieces the young man and his maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherds and his flocks, and with thee I will break in pieces the husbandman and the yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take up thee a stone for corner, and a stone for foundation, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord." All right, he says here, as concerning Babylon, that he will send this terrible storm upon Babylon. We spoke not too long ago concerning some of these things as to the fanner that was to come, and how that God would send a destroying wind. Or it is brought out even a little clearer on here, on over in the book here, as to the storm, the desert storm. It brings it out, even as to wording it to where you can see that what has happened to Babylon in the last little bit as to the war has to do with some of this. That is to say, when Mr. Bush was raised up to fight against this thing of Babylon and against Hussein, who was trying to be like Nebuchadnezzar, it's very obvious that some of these fanners could very well have to do with the jets that went sweeping down through there, and the way that the ones of the Brigandine fell, and of the young men, and of the way that the Lord speaks of this, that it was a protection for Israel, because he said, "Israel, I have not forsaken thee." And this aggression apparently was against Israel, and God having raised up Mr. Bush over here at this time, coming against those kind of things, it's very obvious that the end of Babylon is nearby. And natural Babylon, of course, has to do with spiritual Babylon. And in the book of Revelation, some of the prophecies here are shown to be fulfilled in these things as to where the prophet Jeremiah spake. So then when we look over here, we find out that he speaks of this and tells us in this 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified her and live deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no witter, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of a burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth the merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyon wood. And all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odor and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and that shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is likened to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath revenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. So it's very obvious here that when Jeremiah spoke of these things, here many, many years following, we see this thing coming to pass. Babylon, as you know, as the way we see Babylon and understand Babylon as to the spiritual application of it, has been the great harlot church. Even the Roman powers that magnified itself in the dark age, that trampled upon the stars, as allegorically it is said that the tail of the dragon wrapped around many of the stars, cast them down to the earth and did trample upon them. And in that we preach as to the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven, then somewhere in that allegoric realm, it showed as to stars from one of those heavens as to allegorically show that it would be a 1, 2, 3, that in the final analysis that Satan, in the spiritual quest of his power, would throw down to earth the very angels. For the angels, as to a third part, having rebelled against God, followed Satan in his transgression and must be cast out of the world of light. And we speak of this a lot of times as to one of the heavens above us, in that the Bible said God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all things therein. We speak of the natural, of that we see above our head, as to those stars that are wandering stars, that are not really suns as to the day star that we have, but as to the wandering stars which are made out of nickel and rock, that shall be cast down, and as they come down, turning to brimstone as they pass through the spheres. So then it's very obvious that coming down, burning and streaking, that it will be melted out till it becomes brimstone, and then break all to pieces, be blown all to pieces to rain down upon the earth as fire and brimstone. So then we know that these things must come out, because as I said the other night, not having time a lot of times to get into these things, but as I said the other night, there is the moon that is a reflector of the sun. And then there are those stars that are little suns that have their own light. They're burning fires. And they're held in orbit by their own ability. Just like a Christian is to bring it to a spiritual application, as in heaven, so in earth, or as in the natural, all of the spiritual things understood by the natural. So then it's very obvious that there are people that are in the church. These people are not as of creatures of darkness, nor as to the moonlight realm. Well, that is to say, they are not in a place to where Satan, who is a reflector of the light of God, they're not in the position to reflect light from God through Satan. And they are not reflectors. They are in the church, and they are burning suns, because they are measures of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, or they're filled with the Spirit of God, and having the Spirit of God on the inside of them, they are a burning light. As it was said to concerning John, even though John came late in the season, it's the Bible said John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Not that he had the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, see, as of then was not yet given. But the Holy Ghost was with him all down through the ages of the Old Testament teachings. And the prophecies that came, the prophets prophesied, being moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost thus signifying such and such a time as to the age or the days or whatever as to the coming of Christ Jesus, the seed as to whom the promise was made. So then we see that there are some in this day that are filled with the Spirit of God. They actually are burning lights. They are lights. You know, they are not reflectors. They are lights. And they're not going to fall from heaven. That is to say, you're in heaven right now. I say this so often that you're in heaven right now. All are in heaven because the Bible says that God gave His Son. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And with this He said that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, all the lips, confession is made unto salvation. And so then all that's in heaven, to the extent that the Bible said Jesus died to take away the sins of the world. So all of the sins of the world are gone. And those people out there today, they are in the grace and liberties of God to the extent that the blood is on the seat of atonement and everybody is in the benefit of all these wonderful things. To eat and to drink and to just enjoy the wonderful things of life. Like as today I was sitting there at the table. I got up, I walked over to the refrigerator. And I decided that I was going to get me a little something to eat. And when I went over there, I saw a nice cold glass of something that looked like banana pudding. And Betty had it covered up with a little piece of plastic. And I went over and I tasted of it, and it just caused my taste buds to light up till I couldn't stop till I eat all of it. And as I was sitting there enjoying that, I thought, praise God. You know, this really is heaven down here. You just can eat and enjoy the wonderful things of God. You can ride along and see the trees. And being a Christian and having eternal life, knowing that I'm never going to die, you know, it really is life to me. And like I was telling two or three of the brethren, as David and I, some of us, we was riding up toward the cafe over the late evening, I was just telling them, I'd say, you know, it's so wonderful. You know, when you're a little child, when you're a little boy or girl, you just had such a wonderful time. No responsibility, just had a good time, you know, running around down in the woods as it was with me, you know, down the swimming hole or wherever. I just had a good time with anything. It didn't make no difference what it was. I felt lighthearted and I felt happy and I just had a wonderful time. You know, and then after that, you lose that as you go on through the transitions of life and the heartaches of life. Then you come to knowledge, then you come to responsibility. And as you do, then you encounter heartaches and sorrows and woes and problems, and you begin to bring a family into the world, and all of a sudden you really have got heartaches and problems because you don't then just worry about yourself as to what's going to happen to you, but you got a wife to worry about then, and then you got a daughter, and then you got a son, and then you just right on and on, and it never stops anymore. You know, and I was just telling him, I said, but you know, there's one thing about it. In Christ Jesus, you can reclaim that wonderful childhood victory. In Christ Jesus, you can come to life. Not as a make-believe life, you know, of just being pressed to death and making believe that you're happy because you're Christian. Not that at all. But a jubilance and a chuckle on the inside, whereby you sigh on the inside and everything is so wonderful and your life is back and no responsibility and you're like a little child again. You've been born again and all the wonderful jubilance of life, and it's just so wonderful to know you're never going to die and all this glorious thing that you search for to find. See, it is so beautiful. This is so beautiful because God gives life in abundance. I am the Prince of Life, Jesus said, and I've come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. So then you know that this wonderful life is God's word. For in His word, He hath given us all things that pertain unto life. And this is why God is against Babylon. Babylon is the problem. See, Babylon is the confusion. Babylon is the habitation of devils. It is the habitation of demons. And Babylon is that thing of confusion that warreth against your mind, that warreth against your soul. Always, the Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the spirit.
So then there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, and the best thing to do is starve out the old babble inside. You know, down here in the world, it's nothing but a confusion. It's a continual confusion. There's a confusion in the government. You don't know what the government stands for anymore with all of its addendum. There's a confusion in the law. You can't say what the law is going to do anymore. And there's a confusion in the church, and there's a confusion everywhere. There's a confusion in the neighborhood. There's a confusion in your mind and in your heart. There's confusion in school. Everybody's all muddled up in their mind and mixed up and don't know what to do and don't know where to go because they have gotten away from the path of God. The Bible said all of the paths of God are peace, and the world, folks, is not of God. And the system of the world is not of God. You know, you can educate your children and you can do whatever you want to program them to the things of the world. And you can give them money and you can tell them to get ahead and be something in the world and make them a dignitary or whatever you want to. But when it all narrows down to basics, you're going to find out one thing, and that is the world is of the devil, and all that's in the world is of the devil, the government's of the devil, the educational systems of the devil, the medical systems of the devil, the military systems of the devil. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and it's of the devil, and all of this shall pass away. And every man that hath the love of the world within him, or all these things, is going to pass away with it. But praise be unto God. The Bible said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm not of the world, so I came out from the world. He said, come out from the world and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So then all of this thing about I'm going to do this for my child, and we're going to do this, and we're going to buy this, and we're going to own this, all those things, the world entirely is under the curse. And the Bible said, touch not those unclean things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that's necessitated unto life, all that's needful unto life, for these things that give life as to the abundance of blessing to you, I will give these things to you in Christ Jesus, for my blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So then we're not after the world. See, we're not after the world. The world is after us. See, we don't seek the world. We don't go after the world. We follow Christ. Why should I go after the world? For as to the virginity of the world, as to the pureness and the virtue of the world, I already own the world. God gave his son because he so loved the world. That's in the garden condition of virgin. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to redeem the world, to bring it back to this wonderful, virtuous state. And then God said as to you and I have called you to glory and to virtue. And the writer said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything be lovely, anything that be beautiful, think on these as to that which is spiritual, that which is godly. So then having redeemed the world, then he's calling us to redemption that we might inhabit the world in that wonderful state of redemption, saying old things have passed away and behold all things have become new, and now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All right. So then we know that we are free from sin and death. How could you be anything but happy? No wonder the Bible said serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I don't have this joy and peace and righteousness, Brother Pike. I know you don't, because you don't have the Holy Ghost. It said in joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. See, this is in the Holy Ghost. If you are meek, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. It's not like a world yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest to your soul. See, as to beautifying the meek with salvation. Beautifying the meek with salvation, filling you with the wonderful spirit of the living God because you are meek, surrendered, and yielded. Not because you are glamorous and pretty and handsome and educated and filled with the gullible desires of the world and the fantasies of the world. Not because you think that you are something and that somebody else is nothing, but because you have recognized that you are nothing. And that you're looking on the things of the others to esteem them better than yourself. And that you're not always looking in the mirror. You're not always putting your faith. You're not always running to and fro with the vain jinglings from store to store to see what kind of fancy you can diet up in, you know. That is, you don't look for clothing, you don't look for hairdos, you don't look for money, you don't look for gold, you don't look for silver, you don't look for fame, you don't look for popularity, you don't look for prestige, you don't look to be the man of the hour or the girl of the hour. You don't do that. All of that is garbage. All of that's trash. All of that is called vomit. He said, all of this is vomit on my table. My tables, even religious places of abode as to the church, all of my tables are filled with vomit. He said, because of lukewarmness as to a religious stride, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And so then we're not like that, folks. We are the true light that shines in the darkness of the night. We're not shining because we are reflecting somebody as to some true Christian, but we are shining because we are an indwelling light on the inside of these little tabernacles. As in the days of Gideon, when they got around this great place here of the valley and was fixing to attack the enemy, he said to them, he said, every man stand steadfast in your place now. Don't move, stay right there. Don't do anything till I give you the command. All of them gathered around the valley. Every one of them had a little clay pitcher. On the inside, they had a little light. He said, now, don't do anything until I give the command. And then when I give the command, all at one time, break the clay pitchers. And so it was, the command came. The clay pitchers broke. All of a sudden, the light fled out through the valley. The whole valley was covered. These people that had had their eyes to dilate, to become accustomed to the dark, all of a sudden the sudden light blinded them, and Gideon went down on them, and him and his men destroyed them. God giving him the wisdom to do that. See, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in so doing, in letting this light shine as to the wonderful understanding or knowledge of God, it will blind the others in their intellectual stride of eyes of understanding. They'll be blinded. They cannot see. This great light will blind them, and you'll overpower them and walk right on through them. All right, so then we understand that we are the light of the world. I like that. We are the light of the world, not going to be the light of the world. We're already the light of the world. What we need to do is break the little clay pitcher. We need to do, as Peter said, while we're abiding in this little house of clay, we need to get cleaned up and get ready for God, you know, so that we can show ourselves off. Show ourselves off. Let your light so shine. You know, you see the dignitaries of the world showing themselves off. You see the television cameras, and you see all the glitter and the glamour, and you see the highlights of sports, and you see the movie stars and all of their sparkling glitter as to with their little sequins and their dainty ways of doing, you know. All of this is garbage. There's nothing to that. It's all made to burn and to be destroyed. That is, it all goes to the dump. All of it is garbage. Paul said, it's beggarly elements, not to be compared to the wonderful things of God. See, but we who do the will of God will live forever. And with all of their dainties and with all of Babylon's glitter and glamour, they're only symbolic of real dignitaries and real leaders and real kings and real priests. For the Bible said God has made us kings and priests under our God, and we shall rule and reign forever and ever. And that all the nations of the world shall walk in our light. They shall walk in the light of this wonderful city, as to that beautiful city of New Jerusalem, whose light is most precious, like a jasper stone, in that the Bible said, the light of the city is the precious light of the Lamb, for He is the light thereof. All that is to say, this revealed understanding is to the knowledge of God that fills these lively stones that's built up by the revelation of Paul, the great master builder, who is the overseer of the Gentile church, built up into a great place, a priesthood, a dwelling place for God, of whom Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, has come to sit upon. So then we know that we are the light of the world. We are the children of God. We're the blessed ones. We're eternal. We are God's, and we shine as a great light to the extent that the sun itself, just as soon as one of us are unveiled, the sun will never shine again. It will be so dim that the light cannot be seen because of the brightness of the light of one child of God. And the Bible said, they that have turned many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the noonday. He that winneth souls is wise. All right, so I'm saying by this that Babylon is fallen, she's fallen. Babylon the great is fallen, the mother of harlots, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The whole world is filled with demons, folks. The Bible said the whole world is in darkness, and ye shine as a light in the midst of that intellectual ignorance and darkness. This great light of God as to the light of the Lamb, even the word of the Spirit of revelation and understanding has shined in the darkness, and with their minds as to satanic and evil, they comprehended not this great wonderful light, but in you you've comprehended the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this wonderful thing. We can see then that the stars shall fall from heaven. What kind of stars? Just as quick as the light goes out of this world as to the church, then there won't be any grace anymore. Because I tell you that the blood on the seat of atonement and the grace that comes because of that blood, that grace is upon the just and the unjust, only upon the unjust, just to give the just a chance to survive until God can change their wretched form of that bastard child image from their first birth, that which he despises of lust and of that of the flesh. So then, in Adam all die, which means that God did not mean reproduction with male and female the way it comes into the world as from the beginning. But it is a fact that they are fallen. They are fallen. All are of the fallen ones, unless you are born again as to the elect of God, as to the predestinated of God, as to the sanctified, as to the justified, as to the glorified of God. All are beasts. All are beasts, some brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. So that we know that the stars from heaven shall fall, because as scientists say, there are wandering around up there just drifting that never holds a post of duty. Those planetary things likened to rock and nickel, and this is just a reflecting thing that looks just like any other star when the darkness comes. But it is a true fact that when the sun goes away, as they say in a nova, and that means that the moon will not be able to pick it up because it will turn to blood and there will be no power as to a great reflector that will reflect light to these things, and these things cannot be held up there. I'm speaking of the way that God made me to understand it, that they cannot stay up there if there's no light to hold them up there. Because light has the power of drawing, just like it'll turn water into steam, or it will draw the water out of the ground. It has a power of drawing. It is so powerful that as it draws the water out of the ground, a lot of times it will actually pick up little eggs that's in the water, and you'll find out that the rain will bring down frogs. I've heard people say it's raining frogs. When I was little, I couldn't get a hold of that, but one day being out in the rain, I saw it rain, and then little frogs start hopping everywhere. And I thought, well, my God, it really is raining frogs. And it actually picks up the little eggs, hatches them out of the warmth, and rains down frogs. So I said that to say this. Frogs are a type of the lowest form of life as to devils and demons. And I said that also to say this, that inasmuch as the light is going to withdraw, there'll be no power of holding, because the light will go so far away. It will indicate with the light as to the day star, the Christ Spirit as to the church, the light of the world, will go away. And the word nova goes back to bride, so that means that the bride will go away. And when it goes away, those powers will fall because there will be nothing to heat them up and cause them to stay in the orbit. They will drift down till they hit the atmosphere and the hemisphere and the stratosphere, coming on down as they do, as we say, turning into brimstone, blowing apart. But the suns, the little suns, as to the true stars who are not reflecting light from the moon they will be as to the daylight, and they will emerge into the one great light, that great light, because there'll be no darkness in that city. There'll be no night in that city, for the Lamb is the light thereof. Right now, spiritually speaking, you go through seizures. You'll be going along real good all day long, and everything will seem so wonderful in your mind, jubilance and joy and peace and great mighty understanding as to rejoicing in the truths of God. And then all of a sudden there'll come the night, and that intellectual darkness, you'll begin to conceive of that thing, and that war will start. And then you drift off into the lust of the flesh and the things of the world, or you drift off into desires of natural security as to carnality, and to be carnally minded is death. See, and you sleep until along comes the day. And with the breaking of the morning, there comes the day, and you're waking again with that bright light as Jesus comes forth, as that day star dawning within your heart, and that light dawning on you, and that understanding coming, and suddenly it's day, and you think, I love Jesus. Why did I do that? I shouldn't be out in the dark. Oh my God, help me, you know. See, night and day. But the beautiful thing is when old brother Joshua crossed the Jordan, he just made the sun stand still. And he said to the sun, Sun, stand still over Gibeon. And he said to the moon, Stand still, O moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And so then everything stood still, and Joshua won the battle, that great, wonderful, eternal day. See, we're coming to that great, wonderful, eternal day, and on the seventh day, God rested as to 1,000 years, and a day as 1,000 years with God. And we're coming to that one great day, to where we won't be like that anymore. See, sleep is gone from you and I. I don't sleep anymore. I don't sleep anymore because I am born of God. Now, someone would say, you mean you don't get tired, Brother Pike, and retire as to lay down and rest? Of course we do that. But that's a symbolic thing. Folks, and we're now in the day when even the symbolics will fade away, because we're at the place now to where we're on the verge of the change of the body, to where we'll never sleep, even laying down in the grave. But we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And when He cries, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain shall suddenly be changed into that wonderful thing of God. So, I say that now the carnal mind is moving away. The old veil of death is to the intellectual shadow of that thing that came as a derivative from the garden and from the tree of knowledge that's caused death as to carnality. Now, it's being dissolved. It's dissipating. The sunlight comes up, the snow melts, and the greenage beneath the snow that's been there, that's preserved, it comes forth in all of its beauty. See, that is to say, as to typical things of the righteousness of God, as God has sealed it in, and so it is fresh at the time of His coming. So we've been sealed in, buried with the Lord Jesus in baptism, living holy and godly in the presence of the Lord, inactive so far as our bodily regime, and we're living a life according to the lifestyle of God. That means that those stars are going to fall. They're going to fall down from heaven. But the true lights will continue to shine forever and forever and forever. You know, you go to sleep as to laying down in a casket. As the little fable as Jesus gives to the children to program their minds is coming up through their youthful state. And here you lay down to sleep. And there they pretty you up. The embalmer pretties you up. He slits your throat. He runs the trocar in you. He draws the fluids out and gets the blood out. And then he takes the trocar and he comes in from the stomach. And it's a big round thing with a sharp point. And He juggles until he punctures your lungs and punctures everything in you as he sprays all in you this preservative. Now you say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm telling you how you can prepare for your future. We got so many people that's preparing for the future. We want to be sure that they know how. And when he gets you in there, he calls you a shell because the life is gone, you know. It's the life within the shell, just like the egg. And when you've done your thing in earth, you know, and then the shell is cracked open. But anyway, he juggles and juggles and juggles, you know. And a lot of times while he's juggling, he's got the woman from the nearby beauty parlor, and she's curling your hair if you're a girl, and you know, you're laying there and whatever, whether you're pretty or not pretty, as you call it, you know. But she's curling your hair, and they're making a date with each other. Oh, now, Brother Pike, I know. I've done seen it. I've done been there. See, and they're doing this thing, and they're making a joke out of you. And then after they get you all fixed up, they rub and they rub because, you know, you look like a zombie. You look white and like a zombie. You know, you read your comic books and your story books, and you see Star Wars and all these things. But, folks, you don't have to do that. If you just get behind the scene, you'd see the real thing. And the blood is the only color that you got. And when the blood's gone out of you, you're white, you know. And there you are, pale, as we would say. Using the term white pale, and there you are without any color, and you're laying there, and while you're laying there, they make a joke out of you, and they figure out how much money they can get, and like I've seen them, I say this, and this is the truth, the law has come down on it some now, but I've seen them so many times where they would take a person's policy that they had worked so hard to pay, and if it was $1,300, they'd say, well, I don't know how we'll ever do it, but we can do it. And sure enough, they give them a box with some straw. And they never know because it's covered over with a little tapestry work. And if you got $5,000, they say, well, it's going to be hard, but we can do it. And if you got $20,000, they say you got maybe just enough to give a pretty decent barrel. But whatever you got, that's what they need. You know, they've got now where they make them put the prices on the caskets and those kind of things where you can have some idea. But a few years ago, they didn't do that. But anyway, that sounds kind of gruesome, don't it? But I'm telling you that because every one of y'all are going to visit the Undertaker one day. And you may be headed for California. You may be headed for the moon. You may be headed for Europe. You may be. But one thing for sure, the final approach of your destination will be the funeral home. Let's give the Lord a hand. So just so you know where you're going. See, just so you know where you're going. All right, somebody said, but what about all my fame and my popularity and my career? Well, Elvis Presley, he done the same thing. And all the bebops and all the presidents and all the queens and all the kings, they paid their honor as to patriots, you know. So don't be alarmed about it. You can find them if that's who you're looking for. But I'm telling you, folks, I don't know but one, just one, that's all, that said if you'll follow in my steps, you won't have to go that route. You'll never die. You'll never die. You may go to sleep and they may puncture you. You know, if we don't get around to getting this wonderful knowledge of God and this wonderful way of God, this wonderful understanding of God, if we do come to the place as to that age, then they won't be running the trocar into your middle parts. You know, they won't be splitting your jugular vein to get the blood out of it. See, you're going to come to these times. So every day of your life, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow for sure as to one day, you're going to die. You know, and when you die, you're going to go into hell, because that's what death is. As to the second death, when the spirit departs from the body, it goes into hell because it departs from God. That is to say, while it's in the body, it isn't with God anyway. It never has been with God, even from your birth. It has been this way ever since you come into the knowledge of right and wrong. You became accountable. And so then it's charged to you, and you've been separated from God. And with that, the Spirit of God was never with your spirit, or your spirit was never with God's spirit. But the grace of God as to His blessings coming down as to the rain upon the just and the unjust, you've enjoyed that heavenly atmosphere as to the time of allowing you to repent of your sins or giving you a grace age as to you turning it into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God that made you. But you that have the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about that, because if the Spirit departs from the body, you'll just go to sleep. And you'll be resting there, and one of these days Prince Charming will come by and he'll reach over and he'll give you a kiss of charity. And that love that he brings to you will be so inspiring that just that quick it'll flee through your bodies to the quickening, and you'll raise up. And when you raise up, you'll raise up in all of your glory and all of your beauty and all of your strength, sown in weakness, raised in power, planted a natural, coming up a spiritual, as to going down a terrestrial and being changed into a celestial. So then we see the beauty of being a Christian, and we see the sadness of not being a Christian. We see what it's like to be a beast that's shot out in the woods, that's knifed as the hog when you stick him in the throat, and as the cow that's shot down and killed, you know, as it is with the beast in the world. You know, they slaughter and they prey off of one another. Spiritually speaking, they eat one another up. The Bible even says as to some of those people, who is this that eat my people as bread? I will restore, saith the Lord, that the caterpillar has got the years, that the cankerworm has gotten, that the locust has consumed. I will restore it, saith the Lord. So Babylon has fallen. Babylon the great has fallen. And becoming the cage of every unclean and hateful bird, Babylon has fallen. And folk, we're on the verge of seeing this thing displayed and manifested, even though you and I are going to slip on out from here. Like the songwriter said, we'll slip away, hallelujah. See, we'll slip on out of here, but as to the Jewish people and as to those that are left, those that go through the tribulation period, they are going to be left to go through Babylon, and they're going to be left to go through the tribulation period. So we see everything moving now as to the 92, as to 93, and as to the common market of Europe, as to this thing being set up where all of these dainties will be at the time when God brings his judgment so that he can say that your dainties are gone and all of your goodies are gone and all of your things are gone and your chariots are gone and all of these things will be gone. For it will be as to the common market, as to that thing in Europe at the time when the judgments come. All right. And the Babylon, of course, will be in control of it. Not only that, but it hasn't been too far back that Gorbachev made a statement as to bringing these things in. Please extend it to Russia. It will also involve Israel. All right, let's stand together. A lot of things we'd like to say, but we've introduced so many thoughts tonight till your minds are a little bit scattered. You know, it don't take much to scatter some people's mind. Their minds are so much on the flesh and themselves that they're like a prick in my side just coming to church and sitting here. Their minds wander like... you can tell they're a wandering star because their mind's over here one minute and it's over yonder another minute. And yeah, Peter said, look on us. We're nothing to look at. But nevertheless, your mind wandering over yonder and wandering here and wandering here. And constantly, you sit in the seat of the scornful. You stand in the way of sinners. And you are in a bad condition. And you are subject to bring a curse upon you. Even though we try not to curse you, we try to be very patient and try not to say anything or think anything towards you as to hurt you, because we know that some of you ain't nothing but little old babes in your diaper and we don't want to hurt you. But the thing is, you know, you do need, as a little baby sometimes, a little tap, a spanking or two, you know. And we have to give that you might know how to behave yourselves in the house of God. Remember this, I say this to young and old alike. Keep your minds on Jesus, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. If you are a little girl and you're so boy crazy that you can't pay attention to the preacher, why don't you at least purpose in your heart that you don't want God to destroy you and kill you and learn to forget about boys and lust of your flesh until you get out of service anyway, you know? Not that it's going to do you any good to come to the house of God with that kind of attitude. But anyway, maybe it'll break off of you. And if you are a little boy and you can't keep your mind straight from little girls, then do me the favor of waiting till you leave the house of God. And then you can go out there and just mush it up all you want to. You know, I say things sometimes that sound so terrible. And yet I don't do it to be ugly. I don't do it, you know, to do anything wrong, because I love you and I want to help you. But I just try to bring things out to where you take a good look at it, you know. I said so many times, you know, you're so head over heels in love, you got to hug and kiss and hug and kiss. But if he starts vomiting, you lose all your kissing. You don't want to kiss no more. The same lips that you kiss vomits it up and they have to wash it off. Are you hearing me? The same little nose that starts running and not so kissable. But it happens to human beings. And the same little body that stinks so that you have to wash your stocks. That's the same little body that you hug and kiss on.
They said, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? Paul said, corruptible flesh. That's all it amounts to. Amen. Folks, men and women was made for one thing, that's to marry, reproduce, that God may have sufficiency as to temples. And someday he'll do away with all this stench and all of this rot and all of this lust and all of this corruption and make you into a glorified, beautiful, wonderful thing that there won't be any of that around. It'll never be. There'll never be as to any of those things. As to anything that'll pass from your body that's filthy and dirty. As to the fluids of your body, or the solids of your body, or the mucus that runs down your nose or whatever. Someday you're going to be something. But right now you're no more than a beast unless you can get a hold of yourself and learn to love God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? All right, let's sing that chorus, brother. Wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, and mighty God is He. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, and mighty God is He. Saving me and is keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Can you sing that with me? For He's wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus. Counselor, I'm a Prince of Peace. I did God is He. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Can you sing it one more time? Wonderful, He's wonderful, my Jesus is to me. He's the Counselor and the Prince of Peace. Mighty God is He. Saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, and wonderful God is He. Saving me and is keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Let's give Him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. God is so wonderful, folks. He is so wonderful. We praise Him. We love Him. We love Him and we praise Him. Because He loves us. All right, let's sing this little chorus, both of you. Everything's gonna be alright.
Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and He saved my soul,
things gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning and praise Him at the noontime. I wanna praise Him. I wanna praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love. I want to love Him. Love Him when the sun is going down.
I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven has come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven come down for me. So let us love him in the morning, love him at the noon time. I want to love him. I'm going to love him through the sun goes down. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Or when my Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail. Paul didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, had to move. Had to move, had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Got to move. Oh, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Put old Daniel in the lion's den. And poor old Daniel didn't have a friend. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move. He had to move. Had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. No, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'll rise up out of the ground, 'cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Sing that way. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. For I'll hear the trumpet sound and I'll get up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Somebody say hallelujah. I really believe that, don't you? I believe that. No grave is gonna hold my body down. And that's true, folks. That's true. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I really like that. I like to see your joy in the Lord, because you're eternal. You've got the real message of God. Did you know that? And the whole world is waiting for you to come and tell them. The whole world is waiting for you. You're debtor to everybody to tell them about this wonderful, glorious God that's made you happy with joy unspeakable. Any joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, ladies. Ain't it joy unspeakable and full of glory? Can't you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe the men must have the joy tonight. They must have the deliverance. I'm wondering about the ladies tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise is comely for the upright. Clap your hands, all ye people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's sing this chorus, Brother Taylor. Can I give him
of all he has given. Oh, what can we offer the Lord?
Sing that with me.
I don't have riches, a mansion or a palace. Oh, what can I offer my Lord? For earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owned. All that I have, it was his from the start. All I can offer the Lord.
Sing that with me.
I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I offer my Lord? For earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne. The cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owned. All that I have, it was his from the start. All I can offer the Lord.
Let's sing this little chorus, come on.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle. They're leading me through paths that I must trod. But I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, but they won't bother me, for I'm sheltered safely in the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sure.
You love the Lord. Jesus is with us, and we're sheltered safely in the wonderful arms of God. Let's sing another chorus or two and we'll let you go. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to rejoice in the wonderful things of God, to sing the songs of Zion. At the supper table, Jesus said, they sang a hymn, and then he said, take and eat of this bread, for it's my broken body, and you do show my death, in that you drink my blood and eat my flesh. And you show this as to my death until my coming. And symbolically speaking, as to the Jews, they did that natural thing. But over here today, though we have the supper periodically as to show the different things, as to the foot washing and those kind of things, is what the Master did. In all reality, as to symbolics, that's what Jesus was doing. But today, we drink of that cup as to being partakers of his blood
and to eat of his body, taste and see if the Lord is good. For my body is bread indeed and meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Or that means unless you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and having royal blood flowing through your veins, then there is no life, because the life is within the blood, and as your life is in your blood, so is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the eternal life within the bloodstream of the Lord Jesus. And as your blood produces your blood cells, so does the life of Jesus. As to his blood produce the blood cells, as to that eternal celestial body, as to what it was when it stood in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. All right, so let's sing another little chorus, can we? Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled faith. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Sing that with me now. Oh, yes, it's changing me. Changing me, oh, it's changing me. Yes, it's changing me. Oh, the light of that glory, all is unveiled. That's the glory that is changed. Me. Let's sing this now. Give me another keyframe. Let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. It's the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. So let thy will be. Can you sing that one more time? So let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in his Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. So let thy will be Let's lift our hands up together, can we? And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Now tonight, as you praise the Lord, I hope that you're in remembrance of the sermon that I preached the other night. I preached a sermon on faith. I think they called it the simplicity of faith. And there's been a number of people, men and women alike, that's commented concerning this sermon as to what it did for them. And apparently from the way some of them talk, it really did do something for them. And for this we're glad, because we're helpers of your faith. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. And all of the preaching is for one thing, to bring you the knowledge of God, faith by the hearing of the word of God. He that God sendeth will speak his word. And that with the coming of this knowledge, that you'll believe. Charity believeth all things, hopeth all things. Charity never fail. Charity is the bond of perfectness. So when we bring these things to you, we are praying that you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, even the word, and that with all of your heart, to love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, to give your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we're praying that you'll believe on the Lord Jesus, to be holy even as he is holy, to present your bodies as a temple for the spirit of life, as to the spirit of holiness, that you may have eternal life in the abundance of his joy and glory, for serving the Lord is joy, peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus saying that I am the Prince of Life, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant, as I said about the little fable. Though you were dead in trespasses and sin, like the little fable were, as to the princes, it was that the old bewitching one, Paul used the terms, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently was set forth and crucified. So the old bewitching one gave the bite of the apple, as they say, concerning the tree as in the garden, and it brought forth death. And as it was said, as to the fairy godmother, symbolics, you know, of little children's world, as to pointing to angelic beings, it was said that she could not do anything to change that. There was nothing that could be done to change the fact that the bewitching one had caused you to partake of the forbidden fruit, and thus death comes. But as the fairy godmother said, as so pointing to something good, but there's one thing I can do. I can give a blessing, and there shall come a day when, if there comes a Prince Charming, should he come by, and with his kiss, he can awake the sleeping beauty. And so it was, there came the day, after as it would be many years or many days, and he came by. And his name is Jesus. And he found me asleep. And he found you asleep. As dead in trespasses and sin. But when the warm sweet lips of his precious glory and the kiss of charity came upon my lips, I awoke from death. And though I was dead, now I am alive forevermore, to never die again. And as the little story said, and they lived happily ever after because he took her for his bride. I'm glad that I belong to Jesus and I'm the bride of Christ. Can we sing one more chorus just before we dismiss? Give me a... Let's sing this chorus we sing so often. Are you ready for that bridegroom to come? Talking about Prince Charming now. Bridegroom to come.
Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. One more time together. Oh, I'm ready for that bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Can you sing one more time? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Can you give him a wave offering? For the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for my bride. One more time together. Oh, I'm ready for my bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for my bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Can you say amen? Let's bow our heads together. While we've got our heads bowed together, let's just worship the Lord. I think I'll get little Bill to come up and dismiss us. While little Bill's coming, let's love the Lord. Do you love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul? To love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul. Don't you like the idea of having life in abundance? Having the eternal blessings of Almighty God? Don't you like living forever? I like that. I like that. We're going to dismiss with this little chorus. While you got your hands up and your eyes closed, let's sing together. I'll live on and on. I'll live on and on through. Eternity, I live on. I live on and on. I live on and on. Through eternity, I live on. When the world's on fire, I'll live on. When the world's on fire, I live on. When the world's on fire, God will give me heart's desire. I'll live on and on, I'll live on. I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Through eternity, I'll live on. I'll live on and on. I'll live on and on. Through eternity, I'll live on. Can you bow your heads, lift your hands up? Let's search your heart. The Bible said, examine your hearts. See if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. See if your confidence, your trust, is a confidence in the Word of God. If it is,
then show that confidence and trust as to faith by conforming to what it teaches and to what God has told you. For he gives the Spirit of the Word to them that obey the Word, or he gives the Holy Ghost as to the Holy Spirit to them that obey him, and he's the Word. So love him. Don't be one that heareth the Word and not a doer of the Word. But the Bible says to be also doers of the Word. So tonight, examine yourselves and see if that faith is in your heart. And if it is, apply it to your bodily deeds. And on that day, you won't be disappointed. God will see that you enter into the wonderful joys of the Lord as to eternal life, to enjoy the wonderful light of that glorious city of New Jerusalem and that lovely earth that is on the verge of appearing right now.